Thursday, November 15th, 2018. It's 10:06 a.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti-Ferrer, Steve Winkowskis, and Jay Naranjan. Petitions 4, 5, and 6 have been continued by the applicant.
So that's 392 Franklin Street. No one's here to speak on that. 1716 Cambridge Street. And 7 Broadway Terrace. Any residents on any of those? Okay, good. Thank you.
Are there any residents present that wish to speak on any petitions?
Which number?
57 Gorham.
57 Gorham.
And
hold on a second. Let me find it first.
I think that's number 7.
Number 7. Yeah. Okay, and back here?
Item 15.
Item 15. So the one for Putnam and Sydney? Yep. Yes, ma'am?
Do you want to take seconds and thirds for 57 Gorham?
Oh, no, as long as we've already know which ones. Okay, anything else? Anyone else? Okay, so let's start with 57 Gorham. And if the residents that are going to speak on 57 Gorham, if you can start making your way up as well, that would be great. Thank you.
So there's a petition by XNet to attach a small cell antenna shroud just above the top of the pole, attach radio shroud approximately 13 and a half feet above the ground and connect to existing power supply, third-party vendor to bring fiber to the pole.
You.
Good morning. Could
Good
you
morning.
Please
so
state
for the,
and say
yes.
your name
yep.
for the record?
For the record, Marty Cohen with Network Building and Consulting. We're the consultants for XNet Systems, which is the applicant. And with me is Rick Angelini.
Yeah, I'm Rick Angelini with XNet Systems.
And how do we spell your last name?
A-N-G-E-L-I-N-I.
Sir, your name, please?
Peter Muse, 5557 Gorham Street.
Was there another resident on Gorham that was going to speak? If you're going to speak, I just need your names for the record now. That would be great.
I'm on Wendell Street, on the corner of Wendell and Gorham.
Your name?
Elstein, E-L-S-T-E-I-N.
I'm sorry, your first name?
Judith.
Yes.
60 Wendell Street.
And sir?
And Bruce Mays, M-A-Y-S, at 65 Coral Street.
And ma'am? No? Okay. Okay, why don't we start with the petitioner so that you can explain and then we'll hear from the residents.
Sure. This is a small cell attachment on an Eversource Verizon jointly owned pole in front of 57 Gorham Street. It happens to have a city street light attached to it. It's a very simple installation, similar to the one that you approved for our Harrison Avenue node some months ago. The antenna will be attached just above the pole in a 2 foot high, 10 inch diameter canister shape shroud. The radio will be attached in the midsection of the pole about 13 and a half feet above the ground. Again, that will be enclosed in the shroud also. And the shroud, that shroud for the radios is 36 inches by 18 inches wide. We have pole licenses from both Eversource and Verizon issued. We've done a maximum permissible radio frequency emissions report. We are compliant with the FCC regulations, in fact, well below the limits established by the FCC. I just wanted to mention, as for the radio itself, this is one that does not have fans, so it won't make any appreciable noise. And we have specs on that if you're interested, but it's a very low level, correctly, imperceptible noise from this because there's no fan associated with it. I just checked, you know, because I thought it would be relevant. It actually complies and is well below the Cambridge noise ordinance standards as well, for whatever little noise that it does. So that's So in a nutshell, that's what we're proposing.
Did you want to say something else?
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Muse, do you want to start?
Yes, there are a number of issues here, but I'm just going to focus on the one that I think is most germane to the neighborhood right now, and that's that once this piece of equipment is added to the pole, it can be added to without our consent or control, and it could become rather large. We've seen photographs of what's been done in other neighborhoods around the country, and these pieces of equipment can become very unsightly and very large. So I think the main issue is loss of control over this pole and the way it looks. And that speaks to if eventually, you know, apparently, according to the FCC, 20% can be added in 20% of volume once, but then it can be added 20% of that volume again. So it can easily metastasize into something that's fairly unsightly and can negatively impact our property values. Very nearby, within a block, there's Lesley University and there's Harvard University, whose property values do not fluctuate with the market. And perhaps those would be better areas where such equipment can be placed.
Mr. Cohen or Angelini, can you tell us which provider or which client you're servicing with this installation?
This one's AT&T.
And
if I could address the size issue?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're proposing and looking for approval for the spec that you see on here, which is 36 inches by 18, about a foot wide. If we're approved for that, that would be what we build. If we were in the future, and I don't have anyone at this point looking to expand that cabinet, but if in the future we were, we had a need to expand it, we would obviously come back to this board and request approval for a change out to a different size. So you'd be approving the spec that we have in front of us, nothing bigger.
And I understand that, and I think Mr. Muse also understands that, but I think what he was referring to is the fact that, yes, you would have to come back, but based on the FCC regulations, this board may not be entitled to deny that increase if it does follow within the FCC regulations in terms of if it's not changing dramatically based on their regulations.
Correct.
And their percentages and stuff like that. So, yes, you, regardless of the FCC regulations, you would need permission to change it. But I understand what Mr. Muse is referring to when he talks about the FCC regulations and then having no control once an installation is approved. And then do you have any information as to how this particular pole was identified as the proper pole for the installation?
Yeah, our RF radio frequency engineers, based on the coverage that our customer AT&T is requiring, they do a full polygon, and based on coverage and the viability of the available poles that we could build on, that's how this one was selected. So these systems are set up so the each one of the facilities talk to each other. So they've got to be within range of both another small cell or a macro site. And there's a whole process that the RF engineer goes through to determine what's the best location. And once they narrow it down to a specific area within a couple of hundred feet, then they zoom down and determine what's the best buildable facility. And typically we try to get something that's a wood pole. Something that's kind of clean to build on, that we don't have to do any kind of major upgrade to that pole facility, either with Eversource or Verizon or both.
Do they physically visit the site, or do they do this
Yes.
all with Google Maps?
Yeah, we have site walks that are done.
And if I understand it correctly from what you've talked about to today and other days, there's generally an area that's identified as the prime area, correct? And do we know whether part of this prime area includes the poles that Mr. Muse mentioned near Leslie and Harvard?
I don't know that. I don't have an answer for that.
So we don't know today how far that quote-unquote prime area extends to?
No. I mean, not being familiar with the exact location, I mean, I've got a map, obviously, but, you know, I mean, we would have to really unwind here and just looking at the street. There are some other facilities on the street that we can look at, but they had, I mean, that we did look at, but they have either transformers on them, quite frankly, not buildable structures for us. Now, I'm not saying that universally of all the poles, but like I said, the final recommendation of the location is based on whether it's buildable. We have some limitations with our utility partners that we can and cannot build on.
I can speak to the proximity of the Leslie and Harvard. I'm somewhat familiar with the area. I don't live in Cambridge, but as far as it's concerned with small cells, which are relatively small areas covered, Leslie Campus and Harvard would be fairly remote. I mean, I can tell you, for example, you know, you may recall we had a proposal for a node kind of near the corner of Wendell Street in Mass Ave. We had to abandon it because it was not a metal pole and unusual. So that shows you that the area that the small cells cover is fairly small. And that pole is a lot closer to this pole than Harvard and Leslie are. So it kind of illustrates, you know, mm-hmm. how tight the design really is. Small cells.
So this doesn't show any power connections or other backhaul connections? Is this the only two pieces of equipment you're going to put on the pole?
Yeah, well, there would be certainly a power aerial power feed, because we would need power to obviously power up the cabinet. I'm just trying to see. Yeah, I'm not seeing it on the plans, but that would be the other thing, and there would be some small, where the power would come in, a disconnect box
below the cabinet. So there'd be additional equipment besides what's shown here?
What's that?
There'd be additional equipment.
Yeah, a small disconnect box where we would have a breaker in inside it.
And how is your backhaul going from this node back?
It would be an aerial fiber feed. That would be designed by is it Verizon Telecom? Verizon Telecom.
Probably, most we think it's
Verizon Telecom would build the backhaul. So there'd be no digging. It'd be all aerial.
That you know of.
That I mean, it's an aerial area. Typically, they're fed aerial.
The request come from one customer or is it to AT&T?
At this point, it's just AT&T.
And you don't know who's the actual originated from request.
What do you mean?
I mean, AT&T is doing it for some other.
No, they're doing it to cover the area, not just for one particular customer.
No.
So they're looking to cover, you know, that geographical footprint. So it'd be coverage for multiple dwellings, if that's the question, multiple customers, right?
Multiple customers,
right?
Or Mr. Mays, do either of you want to say anything? And if you could please come up, because we have the microphones here and it's easier for us to...
I'm the last person in America without a cell phone. So my concern is the appearance, and are we going to be getting microwave radiation out of this thing?
Yeah, so we did do a study, as we do at all our sites. It's called an MPE, maximum permissible exposure. We do that based on the FCC specs, and that site, along with typically all the sites that we select, has come in full compliant, actually well below the compliant level. So there's no radiation exposure, you know, from a public standpoint whatsoever.
Okay, so Peter, are you still concerned about their ability to ramp this thing up every couple of years?
Absolutely, because once we give access, according to FCC, I mean, they can certainly come to the commission and ask, but if the commission says no, they can still do it, according to the
FCC. Well, that's not true, sir.
It's not true?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's not true, and we're not here to discuss the FCC regulations and the intricacies of it, because they've changed it now again. But I can tell you that's not true.
So they have to come to the... let's say, for instance, they do want to increase it, they do come to the committee. The way we were informed of this particular move was very inadequate. I just got the letter... I just was informed of the letter yesterday, and I just happened to have today off, so I could speak on behalf of our household. So it could easily have been that we were out of town and we couldn't have responded. So, you know, the letter just came, the consent and the allowing, informing the neighborhood in a timely manner was not done. I think it was done at the very last minute just to comply with the guidelines. There's a 7-day window, but the window is wholly inadequate since vacations can run up to 2 weeks. And the other thing is the street is a private way, and it's not your typical public street. For instance, the city of Cambridge doesn't regulate parking. The adjacent parking spots are considered private, and even though there's the city of Cambridge does plow the street, and we have to comply with snow removal regulations of the city of Cambridge, it is a private way, and it's a dead-end street with children playing, throwing baseballs around, that kind of thing. It's just not the... those are other factors that I think speak to not having this piece of equipment on the pole.
Do you know that your property lines go to the middle of each, to the street? Are your property lines to the center of the center line of the street on that private way, or is it an easement?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think in terms of the property, I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think the property goes to the middle. If I recall correctly, looking at the map in the city of Cambridge, and we had our land surveyed a number of years ago for a different reason. So the property lines are pretty much along the fence.
Okay, back of sidewalk. Yeah. Back of the Carmen sidewalk.
Yeah, but I think there's some, you know, the street has a history that predates our ownership of the house, and it's not a street that is, for instance, regulated by the city of Cambridge in terms of parking, so it's a private way.
Isn't this the one we sent up to the law department to figure out whether or not we had jurisdiction? Okay. Did you want to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to speak to the abutter notification issue. I mail out the notices. In fact, these are my receipts. All but one, which I had to delay by just a couple of days because it was a mailing address was different than the assessor had it. That one was mailed out on November the 7th, and all the others were mailed on the 5th. It was actually at the earliest possible moment when I actually applied online. Okay, and I did get green cards back as well. You know, concerning the status of the street, I spoke with the resident in-house guru in the DPW. His name's George. Greek surname, I can't remember. And essentially he said it's maintained as a public way, and as you know, there's city water and sewer underneath it. So it's essentially, other than, you know, I know about the parking restrictions and so forth, but it functions and is maintained as a public way. Many communities, when you go to the city or town clerk, they keep a list of the public streets as well as the streets that are maintained as if they're public, and generally the same rights that are accorded users of those fully public ways are also available to those ways that are maintained as a public way, as is this section of Gorham Street. So, just a side note on that.
Thank you. Anything else?
I was concerned about your getting communications to this point, whether it's going to involve any other attachments that should be included in this petition, if there's attachments other than this one pole.
Separately. Okay. I don't know if they're scheduled, but they would be coming separately.
Yeah, I mean, we're okay, and Verizon typically comes in with a separate request, and if you wanted to table this until you take a look at that request and approve both at once, that would be fine by us.
I think rather.
Yeah, I mean, we usually get the entire route before we decide on whether or not we're going to approve something or not, so I think we should continue with that. I'd also like to get an answer from the law department. I know we sent this up a few months ago, maybe a couple of months, or maybe last month, I can't remember, as to our authority in terms of
private way
area and whether it's maintained as public or not, because I believe it was represented last time that even though it may be plowed by the city, it is still listed with the city as a private way. Mm-hmm. So I think we want a clarification on that, and I'd rather not vote on this until I get clarification from the city solicitor on that issue.
So the motion to continue until we hear back from the city solicitor, and would also like to see the entire route that may need to service this node, because it may
the fiber route,
yeah, because there may be additional attachments to other poles, and there may be digging involved.
Yep.
You know, all streets go up and down, so we just like to see the entire
And we don't even know if they're scheduled. Typically, they come in, like I said, under a separate application. They could already be scheduled, maybe not today, obviously, but other days. But we'll try to coordinate that together and file them both. And in the meantime, we'll give you an opportunity to take a look from a legal standpoint on the private way, private street issue.
Okay. Thank you.
So the motion to continue?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Just getting used to it up here.
Is there going to be another hearing about this in the future, and so when?
We don't know yet, sir, because it depends on the other petition coming in. But if you can do me a favor, and if you can all leave either your email or your address, so that we can notify you of when that hearing would be, that would be great.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
We have the emails.
Well, let's just make sure that they give them a piece of paper, and then you don't want to miss giving it to them. If you turn that around and then just write your emails and phone numbers or whatever.
That's you.
So that is me, and that's everybody in the neighborhood. Bruce. You're not, you need to, Judy, I don't think your email's on there.
Okay, can you have that?
We'll be moving on to number 15. Eversource for Putnam Street at the intersection of Sydney Street.
There's no sign.
You just said I should see you.
Oh, the residents, I think you came a little late. They think residents is.
Oh, you're a resident?
Yeah.
Oh, which petition do you want to?
7 RC Kelly.
7?
Yeah.
Okay, we just heard about that. So.
No, it's number 8. It's RC Kelly. 7 RC Kelly is number 8 for us.
Oh, okay, okay. So the one on Kelly Street? Okay, so we'll start with number 8. for NSTAR, also Eversource for Kelly Street, northerly from pole 6781, approximately. Both 126 feet southeast of Donald Street.
Is that okay?
A distance of about 62 feet.
Yes.
This work is necessary to power 7 R.C. Kelly Street.
This one got continued from last month because of the double pull.
And Comcast.
Yeah. And Comcast, yeah. But at Comcast, if I talk to Anthony, I think they're going over.
I'm sorry, can you please state your names for the
Jackie
record?
Jackie Duffy.
Susan Barroso, B-A-R-R-O-S-O.
Seth Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N.
Thank you. Okay, so it was a double pull and coordination with Comcast. So what has happened?
So Comcast is going to go overhead, I'm told, and we have the pole is set, but our wires haven't been transferred, and Verizon hasn't transferred their wires yet either. We're hoping for next week.
And then once they're transferred, the double pole will be taken out?
Yes.
And then the double pole, when you say next week, you mean the transfer and removal of
no,
double pole?
No, the transfer will be done next week.
And then the double pole will be removed.
Verizon has to go and do that.
Verizon has to take
care. Yeah, well, it'll go. Eversource needs to go. It goes top to bottom, so Eversource, we have a street light on there. But each has to be completed and notified, so I don't think it'll happen next week. Your portion would continue, and then from then down, they notify other attachments.
And 7 R.C. Kelly has power now?
No.
No?
No.
Well, the temporary service.
Temporary power,
the temporary
yeah.
service.
Sure, for the work taking place, yeah.
I think the larger question was additional excavation for communications, where they're going to remain overhead. I don't have any issues.
Just a moratorium going to kick in 21st of next week. So winter moratorium comes in.
So the moratorium comes in the Camp Dick, or?
That's, you need a special, letter from the owner or install why you need to dig the street after the 21st.
Okay. To the Commissioner of Public Works.
Yes.
So that letter comes from the owner and from
them? One or the other. So
one
you can
other
write
other.
To us, copy me,
okay.
So I can actually recommend that.
Okay, thank you.
And move forward with
is that in your court? I saw you write it down.
Yeah. It would be whoever's doing the excavation.
Right.
Eversource is doing the excavation.
So then Eversource would need to.
Is it doesn't come from the customer asking?
Yep. Whoever's doing the excavation, whoever's opening the street up.
Okay.
Which is Eversource, so is that in your court?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. With all typical conditions?
Correct.
Okay, now back to 15. Thank you, sir, for Putnam Street. Westerly at the intersection of Sydney Street, at a distance of about 2,448 feet, conduit and install 6 manholes. Manholes 306, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. The work is necessary to supply power to 1560 Albany Street and MIT Kendall Square Site 3. Sydney Street at northeasterly from manhole 28402 03 and 04, thence turning onto Erie Street at a distance of about 907 feet of conduit. Erie Street southeasterly from manhole 30629, a distance of 305 feet. Albany Street easterly from manhole 30634-35, thence turning at the intersection of Mass Ave, a distance of about 685 feet of conduit. The work is necessary to supply power to 1560 Albany Street, MIC Kendall Square, Site 3. You're welcome. Could you please state your names for the record?
Susan Barroso, B-A-R-R-O-S-O, Eversource.
Jackie Guffey.
Eric Servies, E-R-I-K-S-E-R.
I'm sorry, E-R.
E-R-I-K. Last name Servies, S-E-R-V-I-E-S. Redgate, here on behalf of MIT.
Thank you.
Donald Grossman, 179 Sydney Street, G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N. On behalf of First CG Limited Partnership.
Thank you. Okay, why don't we start out with the petitioner and then we can hear. Anyone else?
Okay, the first part of it was got approved at last month. And now we're going down Sydney Street. So this is the most updated that we have. So the first section we brought last month, and that we had the test pits.
How far along? Have you done any conduit work yet out there?
They have installed manholes.
Installed manholes?
Yes, they have.
And I believe they're not going to install the 6-inch anymore, they're going down to 5-inch. Because of the
street.
That's what I was told.
I'm sorry, because of space?
Yeah.
Because of space.
Yeah.
How many?
I think they're all going to be 5-inch.
Mm-hmm. So, Service, do you have anything to add?
No, just here to express support for the proposal, because it's feeding our eventual project. Wanting to see this go through, so.
Yeah. Were there any 8M permits required for?
Yes.
Have they been? Have you gotten all the 8M permits?
No, I have that. I have to do.
Mr. Grossman.
So I guess my first question is whether notice was proper, because the only notice I received was September 7th, talking about the first phase of the project. There was no subsequent notice talking about Sydney Street, Deary Street, Albany Street, and it also omits Waverly Way, Purrington, and Cross Streets, which may all be private ways, although I would assume that the crossing at Pacific Street is over a public way and should be noticed also. So that, you know, that's my first question, whether hearing this at this point is proper without those notices. And then subsequently, I'll make my comments about, you know.
Why don't you make the rest of your comments, Ali?
Okay, well, I mean, I'm a happy MIT alum. I'm supportive of this. I don't want to get in the way of MIT's project in any way, shape, or form. However, I think it's negligent not to consider undergrounding the utilities along Sydney Street and Erie Street at this time in conjunction with this project. I'm assuming that the work isn't going to be done over the winter. Maybe my assumption is wrong, but there's plenty of time to do due diligence and see whether that can be coordinated. The fact that you're going down from 6-inch to 5-inch conduits indicates that there's a lack of space in the street already, so planning for the future at this juncture would seem imprudent. So that's my main thing. I realize there are a lot of other utilities, you know, on the poles, and I'm not sure whether that can be coordinated at this point, but certainly undergrounding the power for that immediate area makes a lot of sense in coordination with this project. I also, you know, don't think that MIT should bear the cost of this. We pay in, you know, plenty of taxes to the city, the commercial tenants do there. I pay plenty of charges to Eversource for distribution and for, you know, facilities. You know, they should look at picking up the tab for this at this point. So those are my concerns.
Can you tell me again where you're located?
At the corner of Sydney and Deary.
Do either of you have a comment with regard to notification? Did you bring the green cards at all or anything?
No, I don't do them. The other girl does.
Okay.
You'd have to talk to Rick Chapone on that.
But we do have a list of the customers that we sent.
But if you look at the notification, I sent that to Elizabeth yesterday.
Okay.
It's specifically only listed Putnam, and you know, for clarification, it's actually Putnam May have not.
Yeah, the one you received on November.
But there was no subsequent that I received.
Maybe I know, no, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, because a portion of it, that first notification could be fine for that first portion.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out for the second portion.
Yeah, I don't know if there was, I didn't receive any subsequent notification.
And what's the address of the upper office?
179 Sydney. Let me add one other minor point that, you know, I haven't done a survey, but most of the buildings in that area already are taking their service in underground, so that issue of going from the, you know, street to the across the property line is kind of moot. So I think that most of the cost and concern should be on the street side and on Eversource.
Is your service overhead underground?
What?
Do you believe your service is underground or?
Underground. It's overhead to the pole and then underground from the pole.
Okay.
And most of them are. Most of them have had, you know, been substantially refurbed or been new over the last 30 years since I did this 30 years ago.
So if any of these customers along this route wanted to go underground, mm-hmm. would this support that?
Well, I do have extra conduits that I can use later on to put the overhead underground. But now, because they're fed from the 4 kV system, we might need additional equipment in their property.
Well,
if a customer's required to go underground.
If they want to go underground,
correct.
Any of the customers could go underground if they wanted to.
Correct. We're putting the manholes and extra conduits that I can use later on. But I'm not going to every single individual building at this time, because I don't know.
No, that would be on the property owner.
Correct. So right now I'm having manholes and extra conduits I can use later on,
mm-hmm.
coming from the manholes I'm installing now to each building that it wants to go underground.
But I mean, my goal is to remove the overhead.
That would be up to most of the residents or the property owners on the street as they go. If nobody was serviced overhead, they wouldn't need the lines, but then you go from there down, communication, and down the whole thing. So each dealing with Eversource, you could go underground, and all your neighbors or other property owners could.
When does it cut over from overhead to underground? I mean,
everybody asked to go under. If they didn't need to service their overhead wires, I don't know that they'd remain.
Sir, I'm not familiar with the numbers on your street. Is 170 as well on your street, or is that further down or further up?
That may be who. Who was that? I mean, my listing there is Erie Street, which is the tax address, so I'm listed as 80 Erie Street, but I use 179 as a mailing address.
What number here?
80. It's 80 Erie is the corner of Sydney and Erie, same building. Historic artifact.
So 80 Erie Street, First CG Limited Partnership.
Yeah.
So supposedly you were sent a notification.
I did. That's for this September 7th.
Hold on. No, let me finish.
Yeah.
According to this affidavit that was submitted, for today's hearing, you received a notification. This affidavit isn't signed. I would say that we either get the green card or the receipt, because the affidavit that was submitted wasn't even signed. So I wouldn't vote on this petition. I would say that they either produce that or they need to cure it and re-notify everyone.
I believe Dana requested them. I asked him to.
Through,
so into your email.
To Rich phone,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't received it.
Requested what?
The green cards.
Or receipts. I mean, the receipts and or the green cards and quite frankly, a signed affidavit, because I know that, I mean, I have the affidavit here with the list, and even though 179 isn't there, 80 is.
80 is, oh yeah.
And then it says 179 Sydney under it and everything.
I received the first one properly.
I understand that, yes. But what I'm saying is that this affidavit says that a second notification, because yes, that could be the thing that they thought, oh, we've already notified you and didn't notify you again, but this second notification went out with today's date. And according to this list, you were one of the recipients. So if we don't have green cards or receipts with proof of that, then I think that this application is defective, and therefore they would have to notify again all abutters. But if they do have the receipts and whatever, then we could consider the application. But at this point, I would either continue it, and if they cannot produce it, then have them then deny this and then have them resubmit. Or cure, or whatever.
Okay. So it would make most to continue?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the beginning.
Yes.
Comcast for $3.99 Binny from the existing Comcast manhole on Pardon Dearest Avenue, trenching northerly 56 feet, then turning easterly 28 feet to the private property line at $3.99 Binny, installing 1 4-inch PVC conduit. Trench will continue easterly on the private property an additional 66 feet to newly installed Comcast manhole. Continue trenching easterly 158 feet, then 12 feet northerly to existing manhole on private property, installing 1 4-inch PVC conduit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sorry for my tardiness.
So this was taken off
for
the agenda.
Record, please.
I'm sorry.
Anthony Vanalaro, Vincent Victor, A T A L A R O.
Thank you.
So this was taken off the agenda?
Yes.
I think it was going to go back in January, but they're ready to go now, is it?
Yeah, I think they're occupying or they need Lifeline services in December.
Yep.
So, but they're still occupying the street. So I did want to, the street being Binny Street in front of the project, but I have work on Cardinal Medeiros to do. That's where we're going to originate from. So I would start the trench up Cardinal Medeiros to where their fence line is on Binny.
Are you going to continue the entire route?
So right now their contractor's getting us a price to do the work while they're occupying the street.
Good.
So the plan is to do that, yes.
Do you have you don't have the 8M permit yet.
So apparently they applied for an 8M permit to cover the utilities. I think you have a copy.
Yeah, I do have a copy of the 8M. It was taken out on the project for that.
Yeah.
I believe that area. Covering all the utilities. And that was Alexandria Real Estate applied for.
Yeah.
So add that to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a moratorium. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so it'd be a motion to approve with typical conditions, and if it's within the moratorium, you need a letter to the commissioner.
Right.
So on the motion to approve.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Comcast for 24 Winter Street from the existing pole number 16 on Winter, trench southerly 5 feet in the public way, installing 1 2-inch PVC conduit, no sidewalk removal, homeowner's contractor will install the conduit.
And for the record, Anthony Vatalaro. Thank you. I want to say Vatalaro. It's just easier for me, I'm sorry.
You can.
Thank you.
Okay, I think this petition was denied back a few months back, and then this is...
Yeah, the homeowner installed the conduit before the hearing, and the holdup was they weren't bringing Verizon in, and he did install a Verizon pipe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he has since cut and capped that conduit, so there's only the one Comcast conduit right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah. Aye.
If you give me that, because I didn't get a copy of that one, that'd be great. You don't need a record.
I don't need one.
And there are no typical conditions on this one.
No, it's just more for records. And,
yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Crown Castle for Ellsworth Park, proposing to attach small cell site equipment to existing 40-foot wooden utility pole in front of 3 Ellsworth Park. Fiber optic cable to feed site will come aerial from Highland Avenue along Highland Park, Ellsworth Avenue, and then to cell location at Ellsworth Park.
Good morning. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Mike Puccini, P-U-C-C-I-N-I.
Thank you.
Richard Zajac, Z-A-J-A-C.
Z-A-J-A-C. Thank you.
I'm Joe Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Thank you.
So we were continued last month to come back with Mr. Zajac to talk about the site selection process, why this is the best pole to satisfy the need. I'll kick it off to Rich.
You guys have in front of you a justification of what our engineers saw when they walked out to this particular location. And the reasoning for why we picked the prime location, as you can see on page 2 of your packet there, about halfway down Ellsworth Park. We looked at sites at the intersection of Ellsworth Ave as well as down at the end of Ellsworth Park. Both of those were deemed inadequate, or there were, you know, issues logistically that would have made them difficult to deploy on. If you look at the secondary option at the end of Ellsworth Park, lots of tree coverage, we've had to do a lot of work, lots of interference. It's not exactly an ideal location for a small cell facility. And then the site at the corner of Ellsworth Ave is a three-way junction pole, which we cannot utilize with our EverSource requirements.
Thank you.
They show a meter on the pole, so there wouldn't be any meter installed without flat rate from the utility.
There will be a meter on the pole.
There will not be a meter on the pole. In Cambridge, they don't install meters on the pole.
Okay.
It's a flat rate. It's typical of all your other installations.
Okay.
A question. So this is for AT&T?
Correct.
Correct.
So with the other vendor that was in here looking for the same service for AT&T?
It's a brutal market right now. High competition, huge demand for coverage and capacity, and we're all trying to do as much work as we possibly can. So AT&T's model is to distribute some work among carriers, among providers.
Where we had residents speak on last week, right?
No, I think Elijah's question was
why this particular
what other,
pole. If approved, I'd just ask that Crown Castle do its best to make sure that the installations aren't right across from the windows, although I understand about the requirements, the height requirements within the pool that have to be met. But that would be my one thing to add, because you know that's a two-decker, so.
Right.
You know, if it can be installed within windows, you know, like right in the middle there. I don't know, but I don't know if that's too low
shroud,
for them.
The shroud itself.
Yeah. I don't know. Try and make it as pretty as possible. I guess it might.
Split it up between the two floors.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be high enough that you can comply with, but not right across from their window, which is what we've sort of heard. And I think that's where you keep your fan anyway. Correct.
These are all passive cooled.
So oh, these are the passive cooled
right,
ones. Okay.
Fan,
all
right.
So it so it wouldn't be like the old installation.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So motion to approve.
I would second with the condition that no meter on the pole is allowed, even though I know that's already there, but just new providers
agreed.
Need reminders.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay. Go to France.
I'll set the conditions.
Well, there wouldn't be any, there's no excavation involved, so it would just be a typical permit, electrical utility permit and crane permit if there's going to be any obstruction in the street. Motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
And then a suggestion from now on, your request for installations, I really like that presentation, and I think that's what you should submit your presentations with so that we don't have these delays.
We can plan on it.
Thank you.
Good idea. Thank you.
For the 9th, Eversource from Magazine Street, southeasterly from manhole 1711, approximately 131 feet, southwest of Alston Street, total distance of about 7 feet of conduit. Work is to supply power to 120 Magazine.
And for the record, again, Susan Burroughs, and I believe Ms. Duffy is out by the chauffeur step in.
So I think this was continued
because of Comcast or
other vendors and digging out there.
Another utilities.
Another utilities, yeah.
Yes. We haven't heard.
It's a project. It's a project going on there, so they're looking for. I don't know whether Comcast, no?
I don't know about Comcast. You don't know anything, right?
I haven't heard anything. We usually last after the building's up.
7 feet.
From the pole, right? It's from the manhole in the sidewalk,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
Do you have a schedule for this? No.
No, there's still construction ongoing. So, they're going to meet.
So you don't think it would happen anytime soon?
No, I don't think so.
Right. No, so why don't we continue it then?
Yeah.
Continue it to January, not even to December?
Yeah.
This had been continued from October. I know they were trying to figure out
I know, it's continued from October 18, 2018.
Yep, they wanted to.
Oh.
Yeah. I make a motion to continue.
To January.
Or either continue and then take it off the agenda until they're ready, until they're notified.
Is it that they have, but I thought you said you notified, but you haven't heard back.
Correct. So we don't know.
Yeah, so they've notified us, just they haven't heard back.
This customer did contact me.
Okay.
And
for the record, that's Anthony.
But I think he was going to pay for the, because he was going to do he was going to pay for the application. I don't think he's paid.
The application with us?
Yeah, because he's going from aerial to underground service.
Okay.
He has a pole right, next to his house. Backyard feet? Today, well, on the old house is gone, but
there was a backyard pole right there, and he wants to bring it up to the front.
So he has contacted you?
Yeah. I don't have the application completed.
Okay.
I would say continue to January, and if they're not ready for January, have them give us a call, and then we can move it to February.
What did you say, till January?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a meeting in December? Or?
There is, but we're not continuing to December. We're continuing it to January.
Okay. I just want to make sure there's one in December.
Yep.
You want it?
So motion to continue.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
New petition, Eversource for Frost Street, northeasterly from pole 29112, approximately 60 feet south of Forest, a distance of about 22 feet of conduit. This is to supply power to 17-19 Forest Street.
So two we're going to pull back because it was a section that we missed on it.
A section of?
There was two separate, there was one on Forest and then one on Frost. And the only one that went in was the one on Frost.
I'm not following you.
For the record, that's Jackie Duffy and Susan Burrows for the next.
So you're looking to feed the property on Forest Street from Frost.
So this is the property where we're going to feed across the street, the secondaries. And that's the section that we missed. The secondaries go across the street, feed the building across the street. So we're going to put the manhole on the parking lot on parking lot 16. So the manhole is going to go in the parking lot for 16 and 18, supplying 16 and 18.
Yeah.
The secondary is across the street, supplying 17 and 18.
So that piece up the top didn't go in. So that's why I figured we'll pull it back and do it all at once.
Okay, yeah. So you're looking on an additional petition, but connected to this, you're going to be digging across Forest Street. You're going to request that.
Right. So I just figured.
So you're going to withdraw the application and just submit a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to really add to this one. You know what I mean? Because it's just the same work order, but it's just she missed that piece.
So you have to notify the abutters on that
right.
That section.
Right.
Yeah, so if I understand, you're withdrawing the application and then including that new portion and then re-notifying everyone.
No, revising this one. Revise it and be submitted?
So we can
add to it.
Yeah, we can add to it.
Okay,
send
so,
it out again.
So you're going to amend this?
Yes.
And then you're going to, but you'll still have to re-notify everyone because the abutters that you notified for today,
right.
That's gone.
Yes.
So, okay.
Just wait, this way it's easier for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I ask you, is it a new building or is it the customer is going underground, overhead now?
Right now they're overhead.
So this is still under moratorium, the street is under 5-year moratorium, so we are digging on. Let me check it.
Okay.
You're going to come back and I'll let you know.
Oh, the street is known?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just
which one, Forest or Frost?
Both.
Both?
Is Frost Street been repaved?
This is Forest Street repaved.
Forest from Mass, this is Mass coming up.
Right, it repaved it.
Right.
I don't think that one. So
I don't
know where
Frost was, no.
So I don't know where they can come from. Let me... I can email.
Okay.
You can contact me. You have my. And I'll let you know which one is paved and which one is not paved. That way you can change something.
So, motion to continue for an amended petition.
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. I don't need that.
Yeah, good enough.
Eversource from Main Street, southwesterly from Manhole. 789, approximately 188 feet east of Broadway, a distance of about 21 feet of conduit, to supply power to 137 Main Street.
So I didn't get, so there wasn't, I got the wrong attachment?
Yeah, I was going to say that. So we got the same map for Forest and for the previous petition.
Okay, so Main Street right here, okay.
I got it.
We have a new girl helping us.
because you're taking my volumes when I leave. So this is going from manhole 789 to a traffic light control box for the city of Cambridge.
Okay, I think this was, the conduit was installed, wasn't it?
Does it say it on Johnny?
This is probably, yeah.
Customer installed.
It was installed with the DOT project of the bridge.
Right, but you said to do it, so we...
But needed it for records.
Yep.
Has it already been punched in the manhole?
That I'm not sure.
Because I know they're looking for power for that traffic signal.
So...
So regardless, the conduit was installed
right.
by the state. Okay. It was, yeah. So the motion to approve?
Granted, no conditions.
No conditions, the conduit was installed with the revitalization of the Longfellow Bridge.
Okay. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Eversource for Sacramento Street, northerly from pole 613-4, approximately 145 feet west of Mass Ave, a distance of about 7.3 feet of conduit. Work is necessary to supply power to 5R Sacramento.
I believe this was to alleviate the old service that went through the property on Mass Ave.
Yes, 1699
Mass Ave.
Yeah.
Right.
And I believe they already did it, right?
Right.
Yeah, we got the permit.
Yeah, this was pushed ahead forward to get out of the way
yes.
of construction.
Right. The one I called you about.
Correct. So motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
No conditions.
No conditions.
Eversource for Broadway, easterly from manhole 2348, turning northerly, a distance of about 221 feet of conduit, to supply power to 55 Broadway.
This is the Volpe place. I think the RV looking at their station they have right now to build other buildings, and now this is a temporary station they're going to put here.
So they will be excavating on Broadway.
Yes.
That's right from Ames.
Yeah.
From Ames all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that guaranteed also?
It was just big.
Can we continue and find out more about it?
Yeah, because we cannot. I had designed it for us to go into the property and then dig on their property.
Yeah.
So they came back with us digging in public way because they had some trees and stuff they don't want to touch. But I don't know.
And also, Eversource gas going to go there too,
yes.
and all that stuff. So I need to coordinate this.
So
okay.
Motion to continue for coordination.
Yeah.
And the motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
Eversource for 3rd Street at and easterly from pole 667-8, approximately 75 feet south of Gore, a distance of about 7 feet of conduit in order to supply service to 207-225 Cambridge Street.
This is for the CVS that's going there across from the courthouse.
And joining Jackie Dussey and Susan Burroughs are...
I'm Joey Fonseca with Bowler Engineering.
Say again.
Joey Fonseca. It's F-O-N-S-E-C-A.
I'm Mark Nielsen with DF Freight.
Mark, how do I spell your last name?
N-I-L-S-E-N.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Ms. Duffy, you said this was for the CBS?
CBS.
How are you feeding the property for other utilities, for your communications?
Same pole.
Right, so I think this pole is being moved for the new curb cut that's being constructed for the site, and it's being all fed underground to the CBS.
Yeah, no, the poles are the new pole's been put in.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Yeah, correct.
From a previous petition.
Yes.
Right, new pole has
yeah.
been installed by Verizon.
Right. So you're only asking for electric conduits going up this pool. Is that where Verizon's going to feed you also? Because they've not petitioned you.
That's in the works.
Comcast? I just gave him a copy of OSCH.
I don't think they were looking for our service. So we just need to do the transfer.
Do you have conduit work then?
I don't. I do. All my stuff's aerial. And
no, so it's, you're all set there.
Yeah.
When is the occupancy for this looking for?
I'm not sure. Do you know?
Sometime in the beginning of the year.
Early.
Yeah. And you've contacted Verizon for service?
Correct.
But they haven't applied yet.
We've given them a check.
You can give me a check too.
It's not coming out of my pocket.
Shall we continue to January? And hopefully Verizon will have their petition in by then?
Yeah, because I would assume they're going the same pole. It wouldn't make sense to excavate twice there.
Yeah.
Just from the sidewalk, you haven't actually touched the sidewalk yet. You're planning to replace the sidewalk?
Yes, we're going to replace the
sidewalk. So you will be placing the sidewalk?
Correct.
You will be placing?
We will. We already have a section of conduits underground.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for an inspection early on to get the pavement in so it wouldn't be a dust bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it encased in concrete. So we have a dead end on both sides. We just want to come up the pole on that side and then come up to the transformer pad on the other side. That's what we're looking to do.
That's our conduits, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. You won't be touching a street or anything.
No.
But do you have a communication conduit in that same duct bank?
It's 3 feet away out of the concrete encasement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of that.
Yeah, man, because there's no sense in doing it twice.
Yeah. So continue to January?
Okay. Motion to continue.
Do you guys have anything in December?
Yeah.
Just in case they expedite this?
We do, but you have to start the work and there's the moratorium, right? I mean, even if we grant it in December.
Yeah, they have already applied because they're going to do more work there. So they're going to go past November 21st.
It's likely if you can get them, Verizon, or whomever you're going up that pole with for December, it could be heard in December.
But, I mean, the petition would have to be in soon.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know, today's the...
December 11th.
Yeah, the petition would have to be in before December 11th.
Okay, so you don't want us putting the conduits up to the pole? I mean, is that something we can do?
No, because we don't want you to dig twice there. You're gonna dig to put EverSource's conduits in, then you're gonna have to come back and dig the other one, whoever it is.
What are you saying?
Verizon.
You want to put Verizon's conduit also?
Yeah.
When were you planning on doing that?
Like next week.
When's the moratorium?
21st. They need to because of the Gore Street City project. We're asking them to get out of the street and sidewalk ASAP, so that's the problem.
So it would be to the benefit of the residents in the city to move it along?
Yes.
For the short distance there? I'd move to approve it then, a change of...
And then, but he'd be installing everything?
He would install that, was it a 4-inch?
Yeah, it's 4-inch.
Well, as a
4-inch,
I'm not sure for Verizon.
A 4-inch for Verizon?
What are you running in for conduits in that trench right now?
They usually require a 4-inch.
Do you have a fire alarm going on that building?
Yes.
Will you have a master box on that building?
Phone line.
Is the fire department requiring you to put a master box on the building? No.
So then we wouldn't see a Verizon petition?
For the records, we would.
For the record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Alright, okay, so we'll make a motion.
That.
Motion to approve.
Um, With all typical conditions.
All typical conditions, yeah.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do we want to add that they have to add the 4-inch? Because it's not in the application.
It's not in this application, and it would be, this is for Eversource.
It's all for us. Yeah.
So we would,
but
we
if
would
he's
expect
installing it.
If he's installing it, then we would just want the paperwork on a
From Verizon.
On a separate petition.
Okay.
And you want to add additional conduit, right? For Verizon. Is that right?
Yeah. One more.
There will be an additional conduit that's at the property line. So it's a matter of 4 feet.
Right.
Okay. To close up the sidewalk before the moratorium.
Okay, but do we want to make a note that he's installing the 4-inch for Verizon, but the Verizon still has to do the paperwork? Because if something happens between now and Verizon submitting the petition,
well, typically we would make that a condition of the approval anyway.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
add the
that's
condition.
What we would do.
Okay.
But I wouldn't grant any excavation permit until Verizon apply for the permit. I mean, application.
Well, then they'd have to, I mean, he's talking about doing this next week.
Yeah, but
if we could, I mean.
Maybe we can call Verizon, Verizon can meet them on site to make sure they can come out of the pole and it's okay. Make sure they inspect it as well, just like us. Someone has to go and inspect ours before you backfill it.
Correct.
Okay.
Who did you speak to at Verizon?
That's a good question. Was it Matt?
Matt King.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we would approve it with a condition of.
So I'm saying granted with all typical conditions, and we will install a 4-inch conduit for Verizon, but Verizon will submit petition for paperwork purposes. That.
On the motion.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
On
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Do we have minutes?
We do. I know they went around. I read them. I'm fine with them.
I know I forwarded them.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you print them?
I did not. I did.
Okay, are we ready to approve the minutes? Okay, so let's approve the minutes of last month's meeting. Approved?
Yes.
And then when we go upstairs, I'll have you guys sign the actual minutes that we posted.
Okay.
Thank you. Is this a pole and conduit issue that we need to be on the... Okay, so we're all set.
So I can go off the record?